Good morning, afternoon, and evening. Welcome to the Game Week Navigators Game Week 3 FPL review stream. I am Nihal, FPL Masala, welcoming you to the stream, and we just go through a deep dive into what Game Week 3 was like for our teams and for all the other teams in the Premier League. Firstly, let's just start off with the Game Week 3 results. Chelsea beating Luton Town by 3-0. Bournemouth against Spurs losing by 0-2. Arsenal 2-2 with Fulham. Brentford 1-1 with Crystal Palace. Everton 0-1 to Wolves. Manchester United pulling a clutch win at the end with the 3-2 result in their favour. Brighton versus West Ham. I'll just go into a very deep discussion on what Moyes did for this game, but Brighton lost this game by one goal to three. Burnley versus Aston Villa, 1-3, and Sheffield versus Manchester City, 1-2 to City, and the recent game, which I'm still feeling the effects of, and that could be very well seen in my voice. Newcastle versus Liverpool, 1-2. What a game! What a finish to that game! Completely insane scenes at St. James Park today. So let's just start our stream with a few overachievers during this week, statistically. So the first on list is Gusto. Got two assists out of an XG of an XA of 0.16 overall, exceeding his XA combined by plus 1.83. So two assists of basically 0.16 expected assists. So that's a big overperformance. It was basically very sideways passes that turned into goals. So not a lot can be made out of it, but also looking involved than what he was in the previous game week. So that's a positive when it comes to Chelsea players. Second on the list is Diaby, with one assist and one goal, and overall overperforming his XG by 1.72. An assist for Cash and then scoring his own goal as well. A good performance overall. I really rave about Moussa Diaby a lot. I really like him as a player, and he is taking up good positions, so he's one to watch out for me for sure. And he's in that 6.5, 6.6 bracket. So a good jump off for anyone who's looking to move their 6.5 assets, like Eze underperforming greatly. Like he looks really good in the game, but then just not resulting in points as of now. So he could be a good route out from Eze, Diaby. And the third on our list today is Andreas Pereira. Scored one goal from a 0.03 XG, but I feel that is a little overstatement over there. It was basically an open goal with Ramsdale not in his own best position, so that led to that goal. And a beautiful finish, to be honest, taken from outside the box, leading from a chance created by a mistake from Saka with a bad back pass. Moving on to the underachievers of the week, Saka, Julian Alvarez, and Haaland. You're not generally used to seeing these names in this specific category, but in totality, Saka had so many chances in terms of returning in points. At the end of the day, he just got one goal out of a penalty, but overall he underperformed his XGI by 1.44. Got one goal out of one penalty, which amounts to around 0.8 XG, and then had a total XG of 1.36, had a total XA of 1.08. In so way, way underperformance from Saka standards, but at least he returned, so not a lot of twitchy owners when it comes to that. Second one on the list is Julian Alvarez. Had so many chances, had the probably the best chance of the first half of the game. Could have scored that goal, and for the actually it was down to Foderingham's amazing save that City were not leading going into the first half. But however, it was an inspired performance. If you have him, I would still hold him, especially with Fulham next. He's looking very involved, very lively. Haaland, unfortunately, was the one who stepped up to a penalty that was actually won by Alvarez. So technically would have been a fantasy assist for him as well. And he stepped up and he missed his penalty, hit the bar way down on the right-hand side. Very unlike him. He is usually very clinical, but I think it was one of his badder games performance-wise. He redeemed himself by getting the goal in the second half, but the penalty miss is not acceptable, to be honest. Especially, I mean, I still have kind of a personal bias against it because I am also Julian Alvarez owner, so a little pissed at that. But honestly, he should have converted that. He sent the goalkeeper the wrong way, 2 inches here and there. It was a difference between a mega haul and a small penalty miss, leading to negative points and him missing out on bonus in total as well. So let's just go into our games for this week. So the recently concluded game of Newcastle and Liverpool, inspired performance by Liverpool, being 10 man away from home at St. James Park, especially with all the things that have been said about this rivalry. It was an inspired performance, to be honest. In the first place, Trent lucky to be on the field, but also that first yellow card was a little uncalled for. I mean, I do understand referees are now punishing any dissent, but he was fouled in the first place, so he wasn't sure if he was going to keep the ball, and then was a little frustrated with the whole situation. Ended up being given the first yellow card. The second one was a definite foul on Gordon. Usually would lead to a yellow card 30 seconds later from that previous incident, but in this case, the referee decided that, hey, you know what, I just have cautioned him, and this would lead to a sending off in a very crucial game in the opening few minutes of the game. So I think that was a major contributor towards him not being carded. Then Van Dijk got a red card, and then the entire formation had to shift, which actually pushed Mo Salah to be the striker till Darwin came on. And what an inspiring performance by him. He's been getting a lot of flack for his finishing, but what we saw today was absolute masterclasses of finishes. Honestly, Newcastle had a lot of chances. They should have converted them. They should have killed the game off fairly early into the in the first half as well. If it wasn't down to that godly save from Alisson, I think that was game over right there. But then after the red card, the team actually banded together and rallied together. The troops were ready for the battle. And what an inspiring performance. Like, even with what Klopp's statements are post-match, in the post-match interview, he rates this performance higher than the Barcelona game for Liverpool. So that speaks volume of how big this game was to us. From a Newcastle point of view, Isak had was fairly not involved in this game. Fewest touches on the pitch in the first half for any Newcastle player. But Gordon, what a game. What a player he's turning out to be. He took on Trent Alexander-Arnold and gave him a run for his money. Did not look very comfortable against him, Trent, and was constantly being bullied by those runs and could not match his pace. Even for the goal that Gordon scored, that could have also led to another sending off for Trent because he was holding on to his shirt. And if Gordon decided to go down at that point, it was a confirmed short sending off, and it could have led to worse things for Liverpool. But Kudos to Gordon to be on his feet and with complete composure finishing the game off. If you look at the attacking momentum chart at the bottom, you could see that Newcastle actually started off on the back foot and then built into the game. And post that red card, it was all Newcastle first half, second half as well, till the first changes that happened for Liverpool and Darwin Nunez came on. That is when Liverpool actually Jota came on, and that's when Liverpool actually started to link up a little more play on the attacking point of view. And we were looking threatening. They were countering well, sitting back, holding up, and were looking for those chances. The first goal from Darwin, I would say very lucky for him to have the ball in that possession, but then. I wouldn't call it a very big defensive mistake, but Botman was a little unfortunate over there, and Nunes took his chance and scored the first goal. The second goal, absolutely masterclass class of a finish. What a pass from Salah to him, and got into the space and just thunderbolt of a shot. That was a beautiful finish at the bottom right corner of the goalkeeper. And left Pope in no chance to save that one. Again, inspiring game, great for Liverpool's momentum, but not the best performance from Liverpool. If you look at it tactically as well, till the first red card, we were all over the place. We did not know how to anticipate the pace. We did not know how to deal with the attack. But post the red card, you see a team coming together, and I think that spirit would really help Liverpool in the future games. Moving on to the next game, the Sheffield and Manchester City game. Honestly, very negative football from Sheffield. I mean, they had two touches in the box in till I guess the 70th minute, which is absolutely disastrous when we're looking at Premier League standards, and they did not want to come out of their boxes. At one point, they were at least having 7 to 8 players in the box whenever City was attacking, and fairly negative football, in my opinion. Even the attacking momentum will say they did not look in the game at all till. The Walker back pass that led to a chance for them, and they scored off that. But before that, it was all Manchester City. Julian Alvarez was looking good, but honestly, what City was lacking was a creator. With the absence of Foden, apparently due to some stomach-related issues, could not start this game. Was not fit to play a complete 90. So was opted to stay on the bench. But as soon as the goal for Sheffield went in, he was brought in by Lilo and jammy assist, I would say. But then that's the luck you carry. I mean, he as soon as he came on, he started creating a few things. And if he had started, honestly, I feel he had a big haul in him today. Erling Haaland with that goal redeemed himself for the penalty miss. But from an attacking point of view, Julian Alvarez looked really good. Looked like one of their best players out there on the pitch, but Grealish was linking up well as well on the left-hand side. Even if you look at the average positioning, Kyle Walker almost played a winger again. So what Pep is setting up for this season is three at the back with one going into the midfield. This game it was down to Diaz to do that because of the absence of Akanji and partnering with Rodri in the midfield to control the midfield. Then what Pep likes is all control through the midfield, so the ball progression is good towards his attackers. And if they lose possession, there is a good chance the midfielders in this place would regain possession and start the attack all over again. So again, it was well crafted out, but the deep block that Sheffield United had placed out was giving them no chances. There was no space in the box, so they were made to work hard for their goals, but it was, in my opinion, very negative football. At the end of the day, Sheffield lost the game. Manchester City still created above 3 XG, scored two goals out of it, one penalty miss. So about right when it comes to expected goals from this game. Sheffield scored off a back pass from Walker. I don't know what he was doing. He was very livid with himself as well, and then he redeemed himself with an inspiring performance post that goal. He looks like the leader of the defense whenever it goes in. Moving on to the next game. Burnley versus Aston Villa, a cash masterclass over here. What Unai Emery did was he changed his formation a little bit with the absence of Martinez, I think. He looked to play a back three with Carlos making an entry into that back four and made it a wing back system with Dean and Cash bombing up the wings. For control, he kept McGinn in the midfield, who was orchestrator of all attacks for Aston Villa, controlled the midfield really well. Ollie Watkins had a good game, should have returned a little bit more. He just got an assist, but he's becoming one of those players that you can't actually remove out of your team because he's got more than one avenues for points. He's similar to what Kane was doing last season. Every odd game, he would still come up with one or the other assist or a goal or here and there. And then you can't find ways to keep him out of your team. I took that gamble, which unfortunately did not pay off. But if you look at his performance, he is looking like a player to own from Aston Villa. And if they keep this wing back system going forward, players like Dean or Moreno, whenever he's fit, and Cash would become really good options, because what Cash was doing was he was cutting in through the wings and becoming almost a second striker kind of position that he was taking up. He was running those channels well and was popping up in half spaces between the Burnley defense as well, and giving Burnley a difficult task to actually mark more than two players, which they had originally set out to do. Two goals and a big return for anyone who owned him, or any jammy points that came out of the bench. Another great game for Aston Villa, I would say, and they're looking very solid. Created a total XG of 2.44, scored three goals out of it. Burnley, again, I don't know, for some reason I had very high expectations from Burnley, and in the two games that I've seen of them, they are not looking up to the mark as of now, but it's still early days. Players need to adjust to Premier League standards, and I still think this team has it in them to avoid relegation, and they would be one of the promoted teams that would still stay up. Let's move on to the next game. That's Brighton versus West Ham. Complete Moyes masterclass. Does this against any high attacking team, sits and sits and sits and breaks on counters. And who is the best to do that with? He's got pace in Jarrod Bowen. He's got physicality in Antonio. And early injury to Souček also got in Benrahma. So that was another infusion of pace for West Ham, to be honest. So all in all, a great game for West Ham and complete Moyes masterclass. They did not have a lot of possession, did not have a lot of attacking intent. Brighton kept on piling the pressure and they did not crumble. So that was the only difference between the two teams. One team could not handle the pressure. One team handled the pressure and waited for their opportunities. Brighton kept on going on their wings and tried to create chances. Estupiñán had one good chance in the game, fluffed his lines. Then later in the game had a short corner given to him, fluffed his lines again. So one of those days for Estupiñán, I would say. But he wasn't offered too much space to run into the box. He was just offered the space to be the overlapper and not the inverted fullback that Deserby wants him to be, so that was a little putting off for him. So that created his attacking potential to come down. But overall, what Moyes does is great when it comes to this. He just sat back, waited for those counters, and exploited them. Three brilliant goals, one from a defensive mistake, but the other two were the second goal, especially for Jared Bowen. That run, he was almost in his own half, ran to the other end of the pitch and finished that with the first touch and first control of the ball. Amazing goal. Again, and then with Antonio's goal as well, created one goal and as well as scored one goal. Looking like very, very hot as prospect when going into the next game week at least. I was looking into his post-match comments as well. He is hungry for goals. He said that he wanted to get another goal and he had that opportunity and he missed it. So he was a little tough on himself on that, but that is a mark of a hungry striker who's looking to prove himself and looking to get more goals for his team. Overall, West Ham are looking like a decent team. Assets to own from them, surely Areola if he's first choice. And I would also look at Ward-Prowse and Bowen alongside Antonio. It depends on what kind of issue your team currently has. But if you want to go for Areola, I think he looks fairly nailed as a first choice goalkeeper as of now. Manchester United versus Nottingham is our next game. What do we say? Initially, Nottingham Forest was dominating the game from that corner from Bruno. From Bruno, not the best corner, but that converted into attacking chance for Avenue, and beautiful finish to be honest. And he outrun players like Antony and Rashford. Speaks volume about his pace. It doesn't look like a person who can be that quick, but he's deceptively very quick. And set a new record for Nottingham Forest, being the first player to score in seven consecutive games for them. So looking very hot. Whenever he's on the pitch, he looks very, very threatening, at least to get one goal. And he looks like the key point of attack for anything that Nottingham Forest actually plans for. Even in the in the average positions, you can see he's only second to the highest player on the pitch, and he's always looking for those chances. But a good redemption from Manchester United after going down 2 goals. Second half looked very strong. People would say that Rashford penalty was a dive, but it was similar to what Szoboszlai got the previous week. So soft penalties are still being given. So if you get those penalties, you convert them. So it's not a rule that a penalty needs to be a hard penalty or a for out and out penalty to be given as a penalty. If there's a foul in the box, there's reasonable amount of contact, there's a reasonable amount of intent to foul the player instead of getting the ball. You get the penalties for those things these days. So there is no doubt. But the only contentious point in this match, I would say, was the Waller red card. A little soft, but if that is a red card, then Van Dijk's is a red card. If Van Dijk's is a red card, that's a red card. So it's if they're keeping those standards running towards to in this in throughout the season, then we'll see a lot of soft fouls getting reds, but it's the nature of the game. You can't help it. Inspiring performance from Bruno Fernandes as the captain. What was really good to see in this game for him as an FPL asset as well, was he wasn't dropping back too much and helping out Casemiro, which he was doing in the previous games. In this, he had a clear role that he's going to be the attacker, he's going to be the creator for the team, and popped up very well on the right-hand side of the of Nottingham Forest's defense and created one goal, scored one goal. All in all, I cannot sell him as an asset going into any game ahead. He's looking very involved and he's just a penalty away from honestly getting a mega haul. So I am keeping him in spite of performance overall. Rashford looked comfortable coming off the left more than being the center forward. The addition of Martial was decent in the second half as well. Sancho coming in to replace him, again keeping Rashford in his best position, and he was making it very difficult for anyone who was on the right hand side for Nottingham Forest. Danilo was the one who gave the penalty away. Before that as well, the assist was similar. He got into the box, you touch him, he's going to go down. That's going to be a short penalty. And a beautiful ball played in towards Eriksen. Eriksen with a sublime finish, almost a striker's finish. Not much to add from my side from here, except if you're looking at Manchester United assets, I would still give them a couple of more games after this performance, at least. Because the team looks in transition and they are adapting to it. Everton versus Wolves, complete Jose Sa masterclass over here. Kept Everton in the, Wolves in this game through and through. Everton just creating so much, don't have a finisher. It's a clear case of that. Even if you look at the attacking momentum at the bottom of the screen, complete dominance from them going into the attacking point of view, but just lapse in concentration. What Patterson did was a big mistake. He should have known about Sasa being right around his back and try to do a little better. Even from Pickford's point of view, he should have tried to come and gather the ball in that position. But both of them were left ball watching, and Sasa just nudged the ball into the goal. And that's what you need these days. Just one goal and you're going to win the game. When it came down to Everton's performance, again, beautiful saves from Jose Sa, but they should have finished a lot more chances that they had. They were creating a lot of chances. They looked like the better team on the pitch, but when it comes to finishing, they're having major concerns over here. They are now lacking their forward again. DCL is out injured. Danjuma looks like a good replacement for him, but wasn't as involved as Doucouré was when it came to attacking. Lacking clear finishers in this team. If they had a better finisher, they should have won this game hands down. Nothing more to as such add from an FPL point of view. Both teams don't have any assets that I'm currently considering. I'm actually giving Pickford another game, because with how Sheffield United played in this game against Manchester City, I am still giving him another game to redeem himself, get me at least one clean sheet before I ship him out. But if from both teams, I don't see any standout options. Neto looked good in patches, was the assister to the goal, but Wolves, again, lacking a finisher. So there are no assets to consider out of both the teams. Moving ahead to Brentford versus Palace, a very evenly fought game. Both managers had set out to pack the midfield up and not let either of them convert their or like progress the ball through the midfield, and was only promoting anything to be done off the wings. As you can see, even from average positions, the Crystal Palace midfield is stacked through the center. What led to their downfall was a brilliance from Kevin Schaard. It was an inspiring goal for him. Took on three defenders and cuts in and scores from his right book, curling shot into the goal. Overall, a well-fought game. Both teams set up actually negated each other. Eze again looked like the highest position player, but again, he's not getting those returns, and which is getting a little frustrating for any owner, which I completely understand. Even if you look at Mbeumo in this game, fairly far away from the goal, from usual positioning being fairly central. So there was a clear message from from Brentford, as well as how Crystal Palace had set up that they were not going to allow anything through the middle. They were going to force attackers to go through the flanks and try to cut in and get their goals. So, evenly matched game, finished at 1-1, fair result, I would say. Any assets to consider from this? I still the value of Mbeumo as an asset with around 6.6 right now. Having penalty duties is fairly high, especially with the pace of Wissa and Skarda. He can get those penalties fairly often, and the run that they have of the next six games is really good. Except Newcastle and Manchester United, other than those two teams, their run is amazing. So still buy if you have that option. If you want to move from your 6.5 asset, that's another good option that you have right now. Arsenal versus Fulham. Honestly, it was a back pass from Saka that led to that first goal. Ramsdale was in no position to save that shot. There was no chance he was going to run back to his goal and be in a decent position to avoid it. A brilliant finish, no doubt about that. But it was technically an open goal for Andres Pereira. All he had to do was avoid Ramsdale, and the goal was gaping open for him. Other than that, from Fulham, it was an inspired second half late performance where they actually pushed after they went a man down. And Joao Palhinha came with the goods of getting the second goal. But overall, Arsenal dominated this game. There is concern from who will finish their chances. Saka was creating a lot. Odegaard was creating a lot. There were a few offside goals that went in. So if as their asset owner, I wouldn't be selling from an attacking point of view. From a defensive point of view, I think they have gaps over there, especially with Partey playing the right back position, which is not a very natural position for him. So he is trying to cut into the box as all teams are currently trying to do and make that back three. He is often found out of position and does not have the recovery pace to actually come back and defend his ground, giving a lot of open spaces between the three defenders and leading to a lot of goals going in through there as well. Ben White is almost playing as a hybrid centre back, right back at points because of Partey's positioning being so wrong. From a defensive point of view, I am looking to sell their assets, but from an attacking point of view, they still look like a decent team. Still building into what their best team looks like, even from a formation point of view, as well as from a personnel point of view. They tried Nketiah, sorry, they tried Trossard through the false nine position in this game. Wasn't too involved, to be honest, which warranted his substitution to Nketiah, who came on, and Fabio Vieira came on, and both actually turned the game around a big time for Arsenal, with Nketiah getting the goal. And I had called him as one of my picks for this game week, and he has repaid my trust in that point of view. But other than that, honestly, it wasn't a bad game for Arsenal. It's just unlucky. And defensively not in the best setup sometimes. Fulham took most of their chances, and even if you look from the attacking momentum point of view, they were not in the game when compared to Arsenal. And Fulham again conceding around that 3 XG to any side. Anyone playing them next, they are targetable. Like, for example, now next is going to be Manchester City. Which was one of my reasons of going triple attack on Manchester City, because Fulham don't look defensively really good. It always is coming down to Leno making those big saves for them. And again, in this game, he had around six saves, again, 5 to 6 saves in this game. Tried to mitigate as much as he could, but then he's not been given good support by his defense. Calvin Bassey, again, had an okay-ish game, to be honest. The second yellow was completely warranted. He stopped an attack could lead to a big chance towards the goal. So deserve that red card in my opinion. But other than that, from a defensive point of view, they're looking very weak. All of them, all of their concern as of now is towards their attack, and defensively it's all down to Leno to make those big saves. If he's having a bad day in the goal, you're going to see them whooped big time. And let's move on to the last game of this game week, which is actually the first opening fixture of this game week, Chelsea versus Luton. I think I've seen old Sterling back, the one who used to bomb those wings and cut in inside and make life difficult for all defenders who were facing them. Complete masterclass from him, and he was at it. He looks like a different attacker, to be honest, under Pochettino. And he personally also had mentioned to Pochettino that he had a bad season last year and he's looking to make amends for that, which he completely did in this game. Leader looked fairly lethal in his attacking runs whenever he took them, and was linking up with Gusto, was linking up with Jackson fairly well. Jackson had another good game, and finally repaid it back for his owners with a goal. I'm happy to see him back in goal scoring form. But again, it was against Luton. Luton looked toothless in attack, looked toothless in defense. I don't know. There is something about the three promoted sides this season. They just do not look ready for Premier League standards yet. And I hope they prove me wrong. I hope Burnley proves me right by being one of those teams that could stay on in the Premier League. But they're going to... They have a long season ahead. Especially Luton did not create anything. 0.44 XG in the total game. And Chelsea were completely on them. Sterling, Jackson, all having a great day. Gusto again looked fairly attacking. Chilwell, if he did not miss that chance, he was up for a mega haul as well. I don't know how he kicked that ball in that direction. He completely miskicked it, and he had a very big chance. He should have scored that one. So anyone with Gusto and Chilwell would have been rejoicing by now. But still, it was a decent game for both their wing backs. Looks like a likely formation for them going into future games now. I think they're using this back three only because they feel Thiago Silva does not have the pace to last the entire game and also control the if the fullbacks are offering width to them, because they are lacking a proper winger in this formation as well, and the wing backs are keeping width for them. And if they play a 4-4-3-3 or a 4-4-2 in this case with Sterling and Jackson up front, it would be fairly difficult for Thiago Silva to cover spaces. So just for that, I think they are playing in this back three formation, which is looking good. Now the team is gelling into it. And Poch usually does not prefer this kind of formation, but he's making it work for them. So hopefully good things on the horizon for Chelsea, and having a very good run. So any assets that you have from Chelsea, do not sell them. And if you're looking to buy any new ones, I would be pushing you in the direction of Sterling. He looked like a completely different player. Actually, he's looked fairly good throughout the season. So it's not that they were playing Luton and he looked amazing. He is looking like one asset to own from Chelsea. If you have the funds, if you have the position available, you can go for him. I'm not completely sold on the idea if I want to change my assets around yet, but yeah, I am looking at him personally. So moving on to some spicy picks for game week 4, as I had earlier mentioned, and Mikel Antonio looking like one player who is hungry for goals, looking like one player who wants to prove his doubters wrong, playing Luton next. So he's got that physicality to bully defenses. So I think he's going to have a very good game week four if he's not injured, which can happen anytime with Antonio. So that is a problem, and that is one thing you need to monitor. But if he's not injured, just as a 1 week punt as well, if you have that one transfer, you want to look for a spicy pick for 1 week, I would recommend Mikel Antonio as one pick. The other one that could be a glue enabler for the team is James Ward-Prowse, especially with him being on set piece duty and being fairly involved in the attack. He's not assigned to be the sitter in this team. He's not assigned to be the one who's only doing the ball progression. He's assigned to also be a part of the attack. So that adds to his value, and he's always been a clinical finisher, especially with those free kicks in his kitty. He looks like a very strong asset to own. Could also be on penalties. We do not know yet because we haven't seen a penalty for West Ham with him on the pitch. So if that happens at 6 million, he's going to be a bargain to own, especially with his delivery for set pieces. Great at assist potential at 6.0. I don't think you'll get anything better. Then the last pick for me is Moussa Diaby against Liverpool. He would be playing against the matchup of possibly non-Van Dijk defense and Robertson on his side. Could be a good option, to be honest. He could be one who can exploit spaces behind the Liverpool defense, and all attacks could go through him if they keep the wing-back system, which pushes him further towards the goal. So it makes him a better pick in totality as well. So I like Diaby. I honestly jokingly always call him my boy. And he always proves me right. I like him as a pick going into game week four, and for the future fixtures for Aston Villa look really good as well. If you look at their fixtures alone, they read as Liverpool, Crystal Palace, Chelsea, Brighton. From 8 is when their best fixtures start. That's Wolves, West Ham, Luton, Nottingham Forest, Fulham. That block of fixtures, if you are going to play a wildcard around that point, look at all Aston Villa assets. They look like a good team. They are very attacking. First game against Newcastle can be discounted for as one game where Mings got injured and their defensive stability was not at its best, especially that high line got exposed a lot. But for future game weeks, I would still consider them as big options. And that is all from me from now. If you have any questions, you want to ask anything, you can feel free to drop in the chat. I would be here for another 2 minutes before I head out. I just have one comment from Bangla FPL. Thank you. Yeah, that was a big comeback, and we needed this going into the season. We needed the team to show the world that we can band together and put in an inspiring performance. We absorbed the pressure, which is so anti-Liverpool. We are always on the front foot press. This game, after being one man down, we cautioned on the pressing standards that we have set for ourselves, and every time we pressed was only on a bad turn or a bad pass or a bad touch. Other than that, we held till we found those opportunities. The inclusion of Jota, Harvey Elliott and Darwin changed the game for us. Harvey Elliott really put a good performance in the midfield. He will go really unnoticed in this performance, because there are no metrics to show his performance. But honestly, he had a very good game coming off the bench. In addition to that, Salah's pass for Darwin, that was sublime. And Darwin had a really good game. I mean, I can't highlight it any further that a hungry Darwin is a very scary Darwin. If you get him hungry enough and get his finishing to be a little better, he is a world beater. But that is a very Liverpool bias from my end. So I don't see any questions coming in, so I'll just call it a wrap. If you like what you saw today, just drop us a like, subscribe, click on that bell icon for any future videos that we put out. Our next stream should be on Wednesday. It would be the game week 4 preview stream, and you can discuss your dilemmas with our team over there, and they'll be happy to assist you. If you have any other questions, or if you like the pod, just drop us a comment and just tell us if you're lacking something or if you need something that we should add to our review stream, and it would be much much appreciated. Anyways, let the arrows be green for everyone in the upcoming game week. Signing off till next game. Thank you.